We're on Daf Chof Tes Amud Beis, and we're almost halfway through the Amud. We're looking for the two dots, approximately, I would say, 15 lines down from the top. The first two words in lines are in the line of Chozel Rosh, and we're going back to our Mishnah. And the Mishnah tells us, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, that Ha'osa Tfiloso Keva ain't filoso tachnunin. So the Gemara asks, my keva, what does that mean, keva? Omer Rav Yaakov bar Idi, Omer Rav Oshia, kol shet filoso domolov kemasai. He feels like he's davening because he has a responsibility, a chova. It's like a heavy weight on his shoulders. And he's going to be mispalel with the attitude of Yitzhizayin Yidei Chova. That's what he wants to do. And it's very interesting because in general, we say mitzvah slav lehenos nitnu, which means that a mitzvah is actually not for a person's hanav, but simply because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him. And that's what it means, lishma in mitzvah. So you do a mitzvah lishma in order to fulfill your obligation. The Torah Shekin Shonim, it's also Tzivarim. But tefillah seems to be the exception to the rule. That kavana, lotzis yidei chova, is inappropriate. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say, although it would seem that Rav Chaim did not agree with that. You should have kavana, lotzis yidei chova, but you shouldn't do it for the sake of the chova. There should be an admixture here of excitement, of a sense of, I want to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person shouldn't daven simply because of the chiyuv, as if he wants to potter himself up, but he should daven, you know, so that he fulfills his obligation. There could be many other motivations and excitements. Now the Gemara offers a second explanation. Rabbanan Amri, others, instead of Rabbi Yaakov, they say, Kol Misha Eino Omra Beloshen Tachnunin. It has to do with the way, the manner in which he prays. He should say, Benachas. He should really feel like he's in front of the king and he's begging for compassion and mercy. In other words, according to the Chachamim, even though he's not mispalel mipnei shetzorach hasadavar, in other words, he shouldn't necessarily fit this description of someone who's praying because he needs something, but rather, if he prays because it's a heavy burden on his shoulders, that's not good. That's called keva. You know, he wants to be yotzezayin his chova. He says, if he's mispal benachas, even though he's not doing it out of a sense of, oh, I need this, but he's doing it out of a sense of there's an obligation, nevertheless, that's okay. As long as tfilosa tachnunim means, as long as he is omra beloshon tachnunim, and he's mispal benachas, he's being mevakesh rachamim. That's tefillah. That's loshon tachnunim. Now, if we compare the chachamim to Rabbi Eliezer, we have to ask ourselves the following question: who's mekil and who's machmir? On the one hand, we could say that the Chacham are being mekil, and they're saying that even if he's doing his, he's praying because he has a responsibility, has an obligation, a religious obligation to do so, God commanded him, but nevertheless, if he recited his tefillah, b'losh tachnunim, then he's fine. But on the other hand, they're being machmir, because they're saying that even in a case where he's being mispalel, because he needs something, and it's not a response, he's not doing it because of the heavy responsibility on his shoulders, but nevertheless, he has to use a Lashon Tachnunim. And without a Lashon Tachnunim, which means, I guess, his expressions, his tone, his voice, indicates that he depends upon divine compassion, that Lashon Tachnunim, according to the Chacham's interpretation of Rabbi Eliezer, is absolutely critical. If we go back to Rabbi Yaakov, on the other hand, he holds that what's primarily required is that it shouldn't be a masui. His tefillah even if it's not beloshon tachnuna, but nevertheless, if he's not doing it as a masa, but he's doing it because he has the opportunity, the glorious opportunity to encounter the Ribono Shalom and the Omid Lifnei Shechina, then that's considered tachnuna. He doesn't need loshon tachnunim. So again, the Rabbanon are being mekil because they're going to allow a person to have in mind and be motivated to fulfill his obligation as long as he recites his tefillah beloshon tachnunim. That's the critical requirement according to the Chachamim, how they understood Rabbi Eliezer. But according to Rabbi Yaakov, it's not the Lashon Tachnunin that's critical, it's the attitude that I'm not doing it to fulfill my obligation, I'm not doing it as a masui because of my responsibility, I'm really self-motivated for tefillah. Which is interesting because in general, in the, as I said before, in the constellation of mitzvos, we don't look for an attitude of self-motivation. I mean, there are voluntary mitzvahs. We have what's called a mitzvah kiyumis. You know, certain cases, I'm not obligated in the mitzvah, but I go out of my way voluntarily to fulfill that mitzvah. And a classic case would be noshim b'mitzvah seishas man grama. But as a general rule, we don't look for voluntary mitzvahs. The principle is gadol ha-mitzvah v'yosa, that we want to do the mitzvah because we're obligated. Don't do the mitzvah necessarily because you're in the mood for the mitzvah. You feel the push for the mitzvah. But here in the case of tefillah, this mitzvah is very unique because the nature of the mitzvah is rachmeinin, who we want to be motivated for the sake of coming to the Ribono Shalom to ask him for divine compassion, but not because somebody's bludgeoning me over the head and saying to me I'm obligated in the mitzvah. Now we have a third interpretation, Rabbi Eliezer, and that's Rabba and Rabbi Yosef, the Amit Shavai, they say, Kol She'enu Yochel L'Chadish Badovar, that if he recites the standard Nusach HaTfilah, which was established by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, but he doesn't add his own personal subjective Bakasha, he uses and utilizes the Nusach HaKavua B'chol Yom, then it becomes a Tfilas Keva. It's just simply repeating by rote. Three times a day, he repeats the same identical tefillah without any chidush, without adding his own personal needs and expressions of bakashas racham. Rab Zera rejects this. Omer Rab Zera, ana yachilna l'chidushei b'milsa, even though I have the ability to add my own new personal bakashos, but nevertheless, mistafina dilma matridin, I have a certain inhibition. I'm afraid to go ahead and add my own tefillos, because if I do so, I'm going to forget exactly where I was up to. I get so preoccupied with my own chidush that I will lose my place in the tefillah. And therefore, I don't believe that when Rabbi Eliezer said that a person should be mispalel tefillas tachnunim, that he meant that you should be mechadish badover. It's more your attitude towards tefillah, your loshon of tachnunim, but not to add new things. Adding new things is not a good thing. Now, before we go on to Abaye, I just want to make an important comment here. I'm not sure that we accept Rabbi Zera lahalocha. A person does not necessarily have to be inhibited about forgetting where he's up to when he wants to add to his tefillos. And in fact, in the case of what's called the tefillas nedava, we paskin lahalocha that you have to be mechadish badava. Now, some poskim might say, well, tefillas nedava is not necessarily a great thing, and we're not on that level that, even though the Gemara says, halavai shispalo adam kol hayom kulo. But nevertheless, tefillas nedava is still an option, even today, even bizmanenu. And that would require being mechadish badavar. I think our attitude towards tefillah is we have a sitter, we know exactly where we're up to, and in each sitter, bracha, before we recite the Chasimus HaBroch, Broch HaTo Hashem, we ask for what we have to. So imagine a person is about to embark upon a new job, or he's applying for a new job. So in Birchas HaShonim, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my parnos is at stake, is on the line, please help me. And then he finishes the bracha, and he does that in any particular bracha. He gets the Rafainu, and he mentions a certain chola. So he is Mechadish Padova. In any event, the Gemara now offers another explanation. Abaye bar Ovin, Rab Chanina bar Ovin, the Amri Chavai, they say, Kol She'enu Mispal Im Dimdume Chama. In other words, when the sun is burning red on the horizon. In other words, what it means is he's not mispal shachris with hanesachama or mincha samus l'shkia sachama. There are two periods of time when the sort of like the redness of the rakia is felt, sort of like the sun is projecting on the horizon its red color, and that's at hanetzachama, because all of a sudden, whoa, you know, it was darkness and now we see the light of the sun. And also when the sun is about to set and around us it's getting a little darker, now we see the redness of the sun on the horizon. That's called dimdume chama, or chama aduma, you know, a certain redness as a result of the chama. So it's interesting, you know, a lot of people ask the question, when I should daven mincha. This is really relevant to mincha. With regard to chakras, we have what's called vasikin, and if a person really wants to fulfill chakras the way the Chazal envisioned it in the ideal way, then certainly he's going to be mispal chakras with anetzachama. And that would be tachnunim. That would put his tefillah on a much higher level. In the case of mincha, here you'll find different views. You know, some will tell you daven mincha gedola. You know, don't wait and don't postpone mincha. You know, take advantage of your first opportune moment as early as you can. But others would say, and this would be reflected here in this opinion of Abaye, that there's something special about davening mincha dafka towards the end of the day, which he calls dimdume chama. And perhaps that dimdume chama is what we call an ace rotzon. You know, that's a moment in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for atfilos, and he wants to respond to atfilos and hearken to them. The pasuk says in Tehillim, Al sos yispalel kol chasid elecha li ace mitzo. So there's some sort of an ace mitzo, and the Yerushalmi says ace mitzo is shkia sachama, is the moment of sunset. Again, this is all based on Kabbalistic ideas. And the, you know, the Hasidim, for example, who are heavy into Kabbalah, they'll really encourage that we postpone mincha until close to Shkia, and even sometimes after Shkia. The Omer Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, mitzvah lispal im dimdume chama, with regard to chakras in the morning when the sun comes out, with regard to mincha when the sun sets, that's the moment called dimdume chama, and that's the mitzvah. That's the ultimate ideal mitzvah of chakras and mincha. V'yomer abzeira maikra, what is the basis for this halacha? So if you're talking about vasikin in the morning, we're very familiar with the pasuk. The Gemara darshens it earlier in the first parak, ra'ucha im shemesh, that those who fear God, im shemesh, when the sun appears on the horizon for the first time, that's when we mispal shachris, which is called hanetzachama. But we have to be aware of the end of the pasuk as well. That's also equally important. V'lifnei yareach, which means before the moon comes out, which is at the end of the day, at shkia sachama, when we're ready for tefillas mincha, is dor dorim. That should be for all doros the way we should do this. However, in Eretz Yisrael, the Bnei Marav in Eretz Yisrael, they were not happy with this idea of postponing mincha to dimdume chama. They didn't deny that there is a certain significance and an additional element that they mentioned to davening mincha with dimdume chama close to shkia sachama, but yet they literally, if you translate this Gemara literally, they cursed someone who would postpone his mincha until shkia sachama. That's pretty heavy words. My time, why were they so opposed to it? They were choshesh dilma, perhaps mitrefol le shaita, maybe tarifol of ashah, maybe because of some onus or whatever. He won't be able to daven mincha at that moment. Don't postpone a mitzvah to the last moment. And therefore they refused to accept that Rabbi Eliezer was advocating that a person should daven mincha samach l'shkia sacham. We have to be choshesh that maybe he won't daven on time. And therefore that's not a good idea. So this Gemara is all about juggling. You know, juggling means you have a conflict of two ideals. You know, one ideal says we're human beings and we make mistakes and things come up, and we, you know, if we postpone, you know, a tefillah, a mitzvah to the very last moment, who knows what's going to happen? And others say that no, we have to look at tefillah from the perspective of the ideal tefillah. We don't have to be worried so much about what a person might forget if he delays tefillah, but he wants to mechaven his tefillah to the ace rotzon. Now the Gemara goes back to Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua was the one who said that if you're in a mokom sakana, you're traveling and it's dangerous, then you should be mispalel a tefillah ktsara. And the Gemara now wants to know what exactly is a tefillah ktsara. We had something called a tefillas havinenu, and we had a long discussion about that, but what exactly is tefillah ktsara? Rabbi Yeshua Omer, amahalach b'mokum sakana, mispal tefillah ktsara, b'chol parashas ha'ibur, etc. Yutzar chechem lefanech b'rata shomea tefillah. So the Gemara asked, "My, what does it mean, parashas ha'ibur?" A very ambiguous statement. The Gemara is going to offer a number of possibilities as to what this means, Parashas HaIbur. And that's the opening line of this Bakasha, this very short Bakasha, which is a prayer, a petition that we recite in a Makom Sakana. We don't have time to think, but we, you know, I don't know exactly in a Makom Sakana how he pulls out this Nusach. Maybe he should memorize it, I don't know. Depends what your job is, I guess. So, Omer Av Chizna, Omer Av Ukva, Afilu B'shosh Ata Mismali Aleim Evra, even when you're Chas V'Sholem angry, and the Gemara has a whole discussion in the first parak about a certain Shasa Zan, that there's a moment or a split fraction of a second when God is angry on a daily basis. Ki Isha Ubra, and the comparison here is to a woman who is fully pregnant, you kol tzorchechem lefanecha. Right? Just like in the case of an Isha Ubra, right, she's pregnant, is you tzorchechem lefanecha. All the needs should be lefanecha. In other words, that you should have rachmonis on the people of Israel even when you are pregnant. Even when you are angry.
Akash Baruch
Hu has what we call a Shas HaKas.
But why a pregnant woman?
Oh, so why a pregnant woman? So what's the comparison to a pregnant woman over here? So I'm going to read here a note from the Tzlach, and it's embellished also by the Marsha. Marsha came before the Tzlach. He says the following. He says, L'chora tamua, harei yamaspik levayr sheparsha sa'ibra kavani she mismale aleim evra v'ma hitzuchu lahosif keisha ubra. In other words, if you take the word ibur and you break it down into its root, you'll end up with two different Hebrew words. Each one has its own meaning. One is called evra. Evra means anger. And therefore, Parashas HaIbur would mean the moment of divine anger. And Ibur could also mean a pregnant woman. But the Gemara wants to insist on both. And the Rasha wants to explain why. He says the following, Hol uli Ibur yesh te mashmauyot. It could mean anger, right? Or it could mean a pregnant woman. And in the Nusach HaTfilah of Rabbi Yoshua, it says, Bechol Parashas HaIbur. So what's the emphasis here on the word Bechol Parashas HaIbur? It seems to indicate that we should take both interpretations of the word Ibur, whether it means kas, anger, or whether it means a pregnant woman. And he says the following, what is the significance of mentioning a pregnant woman here? He says, HaKavona hi af shata mitzarem rak hachana latov ki ishim uber sheish letzar lefi shah. He says the following. Again, this is very profound, so I'm not sure if I can do justice to this. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at the people of Israel, Chas V'Shalom, and he causes anguish for them, We have to understand and appreciate, recognize this is all preparation for our ultimate good. And a similar situation is when a woman is pregnant and she suffers during the pregnancy and certainly during the birth process, but yet it's going to lead to the ultimate good when she gives birth to a child, and that's going to be a moment of simcha. What we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that even during the moment of anger, when you are meting out punishment for our benefit, please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be makil, somehow be lenient, be more compassionate. We know that you're doing it for our good, but still we need divine compassion. It's very difficult for us to suffer during the moment for the sake of the ultimate good. When a person is going into a dangerous area, then he realizes that he may have averos, and chas v'shalom, because of this danger, who knows what might happen. And God is angry. If God is angry at him because of his sins, chas v'shalom, then how is he going to survive it? So at that point, he turns to Hashem and he says to him, God, I know that you could punish me because of my sins, and that's ultimately for my benefit. I recognize that's for the ultimate good, but nevertheless, please have compassion on me. And the comparison, again, we wanted to use the Lashon Hebrew, even if it means mu'uberes, the comparison to a pregnant woman is that, although, you know, in pregnancy, it's very difficult, but it's for the ultimate good and the simcha of the birth, but nevertheless, God, we want compassion. So you should have compassion on a pregnant woman that she shouldn't have to go through such difficulties and such tsar.
So we're like the pregnant woman.
And we're like the pregnant woman, exactly. Ike diamri omarav chizda, omarav ukva. Afilu b'shoshahem ovrim al divrei Torah. Again, we're trying to understand the word ibur. And now we have a third interpretation of the word Ibur. It's not Evra, which means anger. It's not Ubra, which means a pregnant woman. But it's Ovrim. We violate Chas V'Shalom Divrei Torah. Is Yut Kol Tzorcheichem Lefanechas, still, please have Rachamim and have compassion on the people of Israel. And basically in both Lishonos, both interpretations of Parshas HaIbur, the kavana here is that even when you're angry at us, God, because of our avarice, nevertheless, view our tzrachim, our needs. We are vulnerable. We are needy. We're flesh and blood. We're human beings. And please, we ask you, we beg you to have compassion on us. And this is something, as we said before, that's critical for someone who finds himself holich b'makom sakana. The Gemara now brings a brisa with an alternative nusach of the tefillah k'tzara of Rabbi Yeshua. Tanur Rabbanan amahalich b'makom gedudei chayav alistim. You imagine he's out there in the wilderness and there are wild beasts around that threaten his life. Mispal tefillah k'tzara, vezi tefillah k'tzara, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, asei ritzoncha b'shamayim mimal, which means that we're asking Hashem that His will up in Shamayim should be a will for the good of the people of Israel. And just like Bashamayim Mimal, where there is a celestial constellation, so to speak, a brigade of Malachi Ashores, who are not guilty of sin, they are completely, totally dedicated to your ratzon. So too, even with regard to us down on earth, we have sins, we're not totally dedicated to fulfill your will, we sometimes violate your will, but nevertheless, make it as if our desire is only for the good, just like up in Shamayim Mimal, the desire is to fulfill God's will. Consider us as if we have a total dedication to your will. And this is a very similar tefillah to Rava, back on Daf Yud Zayin. You know, the Gemara there goes through the various nuschos of Tachnuna that each Amora would add at the end of his tefillah. And one of his is Ritzonenu Lasas Ritzonecha, that we really have a will to fulfill your will. So treat us as if we are like the Malachi Asharis, who are totally dedicated to fulfill your will. We don't have any sin. V'sein nachas ruach li'areecha mitachas. And you should have a nachas ruach. You should have a certain rachmanus, if you will, on Klal Yisrael, who are Yirei Echa. We really doubt mitachas are down on earth, but we fear you. And what we're asking is that, you know, these chayos ros and these, I mean, also he mentions gedudim alistim. Listim means moritas, you know, human attackers. Please somehow stave them off. Vatov beinecha say, do what you have to do for them, and hopefully what's good in your eyes to do for them, for these, you know, dangerous attackers, will be good for us as well. You'll have compassion on us. Now, some interpret, the Marsha, for example, says that Ein Adam Yodea Matovlo, we really don't know what's good for him, and therefore we ask Hashem to do that which is Tov Beinecha. But other Mefarshim say that that's a very strange kind of tefillah, to say to God, please do what you find good in your eyes. God doesn't need, you know, urging to do what's good in his eyes, to fulfill his will and his good. And therefore they interpret that we're asking Hashem that what should be Tov Beinecha is not to bring punishment that we should suffer for our sins, but rather that he should have divine compassion and he shouldn't give us over to the hands of these animals or these attackers. Baruch Ata Hashem Shomea Tefila. And we end with Shomea Tefila. Now this edition of Baruch Ata Hashem Shomea Tefila is not new. This is not something that we find in the Brisa of Rabbi Eliezer that we didn't find in our Mishnah of Rabbi Yeshua, because even Rabbi Yeshua in our Mishnah, in the case of Tefila Ketzara, he also mentioned that we have to complete this Tefila with Shomea Tefila. So that's something that's critical. And the impression you get is that Shomea Tefila is almost a prerequisite, it's an absolute condition for tefillah. That is, if you want to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillah, you must say Baruch Ata Hashem Shomea Tefillah. For example, if a person forgets certain things during davening, and there are various laws, so under certain situations he can integrate them into Shomea Tefillah. Shomea Tefillah is a bracha kolelis that includes within it all of our bakoshas. And in a certain sense, when we're saying to Hashem, Baruch Atam Shomea Tefila, what we're asking Him is that He should give us everything. That's, you know, everything is included in Baruch Atam Hashem Shomea Tefila. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, he has a different Nusach HaTefila. Shema Shavas Amcha Yisrael Vasei Mehera Bakashosam. Please hearken to the cries and the pleas of your nation, and fulfill their wishes, their supplications. Baruch Atam Shomea Tefila. Rabbi Lazar Reb Tzadik Omer, he has a different nusach. Shema Tzakas Amcha Yisrael Vasei Mehera Bakashosam. Again, all these nuschos, especially the last two of Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Lazar, are pretty much identical, but each Amora had a different way that he would express this same bakasha, that God, we have great needs, we are crying out to you in this moment of danger, please fulfill our bakashas. Acherim Omer, another nusach, Tzarchei Amcha Yisrael Merubim. This is the one that we accept la'alocha, by the way. V'daitam Ketzara, we don't know, we don't have the ability to express our needs. Our needs are so infinite, there's no limit to how much our needs are. Not only that, a person is not even aware of his own needs. And therefore, Yirotzam Lufanecha Hashem Elokeinu Shetitein L'chol Echad V'Echad, that please grant every single individual Kedei Parnasoso, which could be understood on two levels, both physically in terms of material sustenance and spiritually. We have great needs in our spiritual life. L'chol Gvio Gvia, every single body, every single physical body, Deimach Soro, whatever it needs, Baruch Ata Hashem Shomea Tefila. And the Gemara Paskins, Om Rav Huna Locha Ke'acherim, this is the opinion of the Brice of Rabbi Eliezer that we had before, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Los, but rather the Acherim, Tzarchei Amchli, So Merubim, V'daitom, Ktsari, Yirotzom, Fnecha, Shem Elkeinu, Shetitein, L'chol Echad, V'echad, Kidei Parnasoso, L'chol Gviu, Gviu, De Machsora, Baruch Ata Hashem, Shomea, Tefila. And that is the way we paskin. Now, One thing we want to mention about the Tefillah Ketzara is that it doesn't open up with a Baruch. And that makes it really different than every other Tefillah that we're familiar with. In the case of our Shmona Esrei, we open Baruch in the first Bracha, and that's going to carry us through. That's called Smucha Lechavrita, but it definitely has a structure of a Psicha and a Chasima. Not so in the case of the Tefillah Ketzara. And therefore, that leads to gigantic controversy amongst the Rishonim. If a person was in a Makom Sakana and he came out of the Sakana and he had davened the Tefillah Ketzara when he was in danger, would he have to recite Shmona Esrei again? And many Rishonim say that since this Tefillah does not open with a Baruch, it doesn't have what you call a Chal Hashem Shmona Esrei, it's not a Tefillah in the formal sense, and therefore he's still obligated in davening if he gets there on time. As far as Tashlumin are concerned, according to that opinion, if he gets back to society, you know, to safe shores, and it's already the next owner, he would have to daven a tefillah tashlumin. This is not a tefillah. This is the best you can do under those urgent circumstances. Amalei Elio, this is unbelievable. The Gemara records a conversation between Elio and Navi and one of the Amoraim. This is not the first time we have this in Masechta Brachos. Back at the beginning of Masechta Brachos, I think it was Rabbi Yossi, if I'm not mistaken, anyway you'll look it up, who had an entire discussion with Elio and Navi. And this is Rabbi Yehuda Achua de Rav Salah Chasida. He was the brother of Rav Salah, who was known as a Chasid. And Elio tells him, Lo tirtach velo techti. You should not get angry and not sin. Why? Because if a person gets angry, it'll always bring him to sin. Now, it's very interesting that the language that he uses is the feminine. Apparently, he is addressing not only the person, in this case Rabbi Yehuda, but he's addressing his neshama. And he says the following, not only is anger going to bring you to sin, but lo tirvi velo techti. Tirvi, Kosi Revoya, if you're familiar with that pasuk, is a reference to Yayin. And Yayin is quite tricky. I mean, it's a good thing to drink wine, and we have a special Kiddush Yayin, etc., etc. But nevertheless, Yayin also has its danger if we get drunk, and therefore, lo techta, you shouldn't sin. One of my friends who was killed by the terrorists, Rav Chorsky, told me that one time he was drinking wine at a Sudas Purim, and his grandfather, Rav Salvechik, said to him, Moshe, you'll get drunk! So even at a Sudas Purim, he was worried that maybe he'll get intoxicated. For us, I think we could be making a lot of Sudas Purim. He says, this will bring you to chet, the person who gets drunk, you know, the Gemara says that a Nazir, actually when he sees the Sota, he takes upon himself the Zirus, because he thinks that the reason why she got into this situation is because of the influence of intoxicating beverage. When you're going out to the road, and in those days a derech meant danger, is he molech bekoncha. You should ask Rishus from your creator, Vitzei, and then you go out to the road. So the Gemara immediately asks, "My he molech bekoncha Vitzei?" What does exactly that mean? You know, God doesn't usually respond to emails. I don't know. So what do you, you know, what, how do you do this? Omer Rabbi Yaakov Rabbi Chiz, the zot tefilas haderech. In other words, tefilas haderech is not just a prayer in which we ask God to protect us, but it has an additional dimension to it. It's almost like we're saying to God that confirm or whatever the word is that it's a good time to go out to the road. Now on Tefillas HaDerech itself, there's a lot of discussion exactly when and under what conditions you should recite Tefillas HaDerech. And we're going to talk about that now, some of it now. Omer Rav Yaakov, Omer Rav Chisda, Kol Yotzi L'Derech Tzorch L'Spal Tefillas HaDerech. So the Gemara says, my Tefillas HaDerech, what exactly is Tefillas HaDerech? Yirotzon Fanecha Hashem Elokai, Shetolichenu L'Shom, Tzatzidenu L'Shom, Tzmechenu L'Shom, Tzatzilenu Mikav Kol Oyev, Orev, Now we have another nusach. We have listim and baderech. V'sishlach bracha ma'aseh yodenu. So there's a negative and there's a positive. On the one hand, we're asking for shalom, we're asking for peace, we're asking for tismachenu shalom. On the other hand, there's sort of a negative aspect, which means save us from all the dangers in the derech. And then we go back to the positive aspect. We ask Hashem for a bracha. Again, in order to make this into a tefillah, we have to add the chasim, as we saw over and over again with regard to tefillah ketzara, Baruch Ato Hashem Shomea Tefillah. Omer Abaye, Li'olam, here we turn to the Aflamed Omer Aleph. Li'shatef Irish Nafshe Bahari Tzibura. A person, when he davens, he should never pray in a Lashon Yachid, as if he's praying on behalf of himself. He should always include himself in the tzibur. He should always utilize the grammatical plural, because his prayers will be responded to if he's praying together with the tzibur, as one member of the tzibur. Now, as every individual is on the one hand an individual, but if he comes in front of the Ribbono Shel as an individual, that's tricky. If he prays to God as part of the tzibur, that's what we say to an ovel, Amokom yenachem osa besoch sharavei l'tzibur b'sholayim. And all that tefillos are formulated b'loshon rabbi. So heichi neimo, so in tefillos haderech, what should reflect our integration into the tzibur? Yirotzom nech Hashem alkeinu she'tolichenu l'sholam. Right? If you go back to Amud Beis, you'll see that it says that he wrote some of Hashem al-Kain said, Tolicheni l'shalom. Do you see that? Tolicheni. And comes along Abaye, and he makes this comment that it's Tolicheni l'shalom. And you and I would not make a big deal about it. Maybe we wouldn't even notice the difference. It's all a question of where to put the vowels. But he says, nevertheless, Tolicheni l'shalom. We have to daven in the plural, because once we use the plural, then it means that we are mishtatef nafshei bahadei tzibura. We connected ourselves with the tzibur.
It also changes Elokeinu.
Elokeinu, yeah, very good. Excellent. Amos Matzli, the person is going out to the derech. At what point should he recite the tefillah sederech? Omer of Yaakov, Omer of Chizlam, Visha, Shemahalech baderech. In other words, when he's already on the road. Now, this is a little bit strange, because, you know, if he's already on the road, then his tefillah will not cover, you know, the first part of his journey. So the Gemara asks, on Kama, you know, how far are you into the road? You know, you got to worry about the first part of your trip. Omer of Yaakov, Omer of Chizad Parsa. He should limit himself to a Parsa. In other words, he should not daven to, you know, say this prayer too early. He should not say it too late. He should say it Ad Parsa. Now Rashi offers two interpretations exactly what Ad Parsa is, and I think we're going to leave that for tomorrow because I see it's getting late. But let's just read another few lines in the Gemara, and then we'll talk about what Ad Parsa means if we have time. Heichi Matzile. Where should we integrate this tefillah, and how should we daven? We always have two questions in tefillah. One is, you know, the physical question about whether we stand, whether we sit, whether we're gawking, we're going, and what exactly should the tefillah be consisting of? And then we have another question as to when and where we should inject this tefillah. So the Adparsa question was at what point we should project this tefillah. But now the Gemara is asking about how we should stand. Normally, we stand for a tefillah, but he's on the road, so you're going to have to stop the car, you know, and get out and stand, or stop the wagon, get out of the wagon and stand. So if Chizda says that's exactly what he has to do, me'umad, that tefillah requires amida. So we never really had a question of this sort before, because all the different types of tefillos that we've been discussing until now, we always took it for granted that you recite them be'umat. And that's what we call tefillah amida. You know, you're standing in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But this is a little bit different. This tefillah is part of the derech, so to speak. So Rav Sheshes Omer, afilu mahalach. Now the word afilu indicates that although if everything is ideal, perhaps Rav Sheshes would also buy into Rav Chisda, you know, stop the car, get out and stand and recite the tefillah, but it's not necessary to do that. So the word afilu, and Tosfos is going to make a big deal about this, indicates that although Rav Sheshes would say you can pray this tefillah saderech when you are mahalach, but nevertheless he would recommend or advocate that you stand. The Rif, however, you should know, paskins like Rav Chisda that you must stand. Not only the Rif, but the Rosh paskins like Rav Chisda that you must stand. And perhaps the reason why the Rif accepted Rav Chisda is because even Rav Sheshes seems to have accepted Rav Chisda, and the minhag was to stand. However, Tosfos passes like Rav Sheshes, because Tosfos thinks that although Rav Sheshes may have been knowing like Rav Chisda, as we'll soon see, but nevertheless, he did it because of Meyos Tov Al Tikur Ra. In other words, since he could do it that way and Rav Chisda would be happy about it, he did it that way. But says Tosfos, Mikra Din, Rav Sheshes has no problem with davening the tefillah saderech while he's on the road, while he's on the move. And the Beis Yosef in Orachaim Siman Kufyud Paskins that even though the Rif and the Rosh were noyed like Rav Chisda and they said it Mu'umad, however, for us, if we delay our journey in order to stop and stand, it could be that we'll, at the end of the day, we won't fulfill this requirement. And therefore we go back to the Ikar Adin, and that is the way Tosfos said that we can be mispalit while we are mahalech. So let's just quickly, we don't have much time, but let's just see quickly if we can finish this up. Rav Chisda, Rav Sheshes, Havikaz, Lebi'arch, the Gemara tells us a story about Rav Chisda and Rav Sheshes. They were on the way. How did they daven? Come Rav Chisda, become matzli. Rav Chisda got up, he stood, and he recited in a standing position to feel Saderech Omalei Rav Sheshes L'shamei. Rav Sheshes asked his second in command. The Gemara tells us that Rav Sheshes himself was blind. Is Maika Ovid, what is Rav Chisda do? Omalei, so he told him, Koi, he's standing, Umatzle, and he's dominating, he's saying Tfil Saderech. Omalei, so Rav Sheshes says, Okman Nami Lididi V'atzle, then make sure that I can stand up, help me get up. And I too will daven tefillah saderech in a standing position. And why? Meyos tov al tikri ra. Because the pasuk indicates, it's a pasuk of Mishlei, that if you have the possibility of doing the mitzvah in a way that no one would question it, it's definitely the ideal way of doing it, then that's the way you should do it. So since I can stand, if you'll help me get up, and daven and pray the tefillah saderech, and my friends are doing the same thing with me, then I would also like to stand, and I won't be considered ra, I won't be considered as if I'm doing it in a fallback way. And again, as we said before, the Beis Yosef says that even though we accept Rav Sheshes lahalacha, and it would seem that even Rav Sheshes would ideally stand for tefillah saderech, nevertheless, the Ikar Adin, you're allowed to recite Tfil Saderech while you're on the move, even if you're in a sitting position. And in a matter of fact, there are cases of in Shulchan Aruch of a person who's riding an animal, and there are those poskim who say that he has to get off the animal in order to recite Tfil Saderech. Those who say he doesn't have to get off the animal's back. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch maintains that it's possible that even Shmon Esri itself can be recited in a sitting position if there's no other option. So, but certainly with regard to Tefillah Saderech, if there is no option, you know, to start stopping in a dangerous way, I would say nowadays it's quite dangerous to stop on the way. You know, you're already a parsa, you know, you're out of the city by a mile out of the city, and now you're going to find a place to stand on, you know, to stop the car on the road. That's a little bit dangerous. Okay, then. So we'll stop over here, and I'll wish everybody a great Shabbos. Now we'll try to...